In discussions about the southern border, there's been a lot of rhetoric about immigrants bringing the violence of their home countries into the United States. But as a new book exposes, the US is complicit in the rise of gun violence in our closest southern neighbour, Mexico. In Exit Wounds, author Yeva Yusonite looks at how guns from the United States are flowing across the border and how those guns are used. Yeva Yusonite is a former paramedic who volunteered on the US-Mexico border. She's now an associate professor at Brown University, and she joins us now. Yeva, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Deepa.
So, Yeva, you were working as an EMT, and you write that when you were on the southern border, you saw a lot of gunshot wounds in patients you treated. And gun wounds are clearly quite prolific in the US, but you were seeing them in Mexico. What made you think to ask what kind of guns were being used to make these wounds? And then where did these guns come from?
Well, when I was a paramedic and an EMT, I had actually worked in other parts of the United States before I ever went to the US-Mexico border. So I had seen gunshot injuries. But on the border where I was a volunteer, we began seeing people who were telling us that they were running away from gun violence in their community. Sometimes they did have scars from gun injuries. Sometimes they just received threats and packed what they could, and then they decided to leave and seek safety on the US-Mexico border, trying to either ask for asylum or cross the border without asking for asylum. So that's what made me begin asking questions. What are these guns that are causing these injuries?
You know, I found it interesting that you yourself write, these are your words, that the realization came gradually, that the people you were treating on the Mexican side of the border were, quote, fleeing threats enforced with guns sold in the US. So that began to come to you gradually. How did you put the pieces together?
I was crossing the border. I was living there in Nogales in southern Arizona, crossing the border almost every day. And I was passing these signs that said guns and ammunition illegal in Mexico. At first, I didn't give them much notice. But then I began asking, so what are the gun laws in Mexico? And I realized that Mexico has very strict gun laws and that most of these guns are being sold in Texas or Arizona or other states, and they cross the border south. So I had to do a lot of reading. I had to ask people questions about this discrepancy in gun laws on two sides of the border. And only then it kind of clicked that there is a connection between our gun industry and our gun laws and violence in Mexico and in Central America.
And you just said that the being sold in Texas and other border states coming into Mexico, how did you know the guns were from America, or how does one trace how the guns come into Mexico?
So most of the tracing is done by ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco and Firearms. That data says that at least 70%, 70, of all guns recovered in crime scenes around Mexico are originally sold by U.S. gun dealers, probably more than 70%.
Wow, that's a lot.
The control is very, very limited of guns going south.
Meaning, you know, and I'm just going to walk this through with you because I've driven across the border into Mexico many times, mostly in California, mostly in San Isidro. And when you're crossing into Mexico, you basically just keep driving. You get waved through. You barely stop, if at all. But when you're coming back from Mexico into the US, you wait in these long lines. So is my experience unique, or is there actually checking when you're leaving the US to go into Mexico?
No, exactly. Your experience is very representative. Customs and Border Protection do occasionally check southbound lanes, especially when they get a tip. Maybe somebody bought a large quantity of guns, so maybe they are just monitoring the port of entry. But usually most of the resources, most of the personnel are checking northbound vehicles and people, checking visas, checking whether people are bringing drugs, and just not focusing on what is going south.
Yeah. So let me ask you, because some might say, well, it's legal to sell guns in the US. And if it's not legal to bring them into Mexico, then isn't it incumbent on Mexican authorities to stop and prosecute those doing it? But I appreciated that you took on this question because you also document how few people are actually prosecuted for what's called clandestine introduction into Mexico of firearms or ammunition, which is designated only for use by military. Why is there so little prosecution?
Well, Mexico has had trouble with the criminal justice system, which is just understaffed and undertrained, starting everything from police officers to investigators. And they are fighting a very difficult battle because the organized crime groups have become armed with the arsenal of guns from the United States. So it is difficult for the Mexican government to do something. It is kind of a supply and demand situation. Like, we, U.S. government, is asking Mexico to stop drug trafficking organizations. So Mexican government is now trying to stop guns going south. I think it's a responsibility basically of both countries. It is impossible have different gun laws and expect that people will not take guns from one side of the border to another.
You spent time with ATF agents whose job it is to find these drug runners. I found it fascinating to read just how much they not only take their job seriously, but work it around the clock. What did you learn from them about the challenges of stopping the guns? Because they work here in the US, that's their job. They want to stop those guns going into Mexico. What are their challenges?
Again, this is where the resources mostly are focused on northbound inspection and not southbound. And also for the ATF, they are not a very much liked agency in US public opinion. So they are not very eager to share the data, and they're not very eager to advertise their work to capture gun traffickers or gun smugglers, because, again, gun regulations are a very contested issue in the United States. So it is a hard work that they are doing.
Towards the end of your book, you write, and I'm quoting you here, "Somehow we fail to connect the dots that the violence people are fleeing, the violence we are afraid they would spread in the United States, is in large part of our own making." Can you talk about how this lack of understanding plays into the current moves to limit immigration across the southern border?
Yes, it is unfortunately very timely, as has always been. So even if we look at what is going on in Texas on the border with the building of new kinds of fences and passing new laws to arrest migrants, well, most of the guns in Mexico that are used by criminals are actually coming from Texas. 43% in the last several years were sold in Texas. Texas has thousands of gun stores. Mexico has only two. So we kind of, when we talk about border security and we talk about migration and refugee crisis, we forget that so many people wouldn't be coming to our southern border to seek safety if it wasn't for very much unregulated, widely open flow of guns south.
Yeva, do you think if American guns suddenly stopped crossing the border, there would be less violence in Mexico, maybe even less Mexican migrants trying to come into the United States?
I think eventually it would be. It would take many years because guns that are already in Mexico will last maybe a decade, maybe two. Ammunition is also important, stopping the flow of ammunition, but it's also kind of the way society is injured by guns. It's not immediately necessarily felt. It wounds communities, trust in the criminal justice system, trust in the police, justice in general. So to repair all that, even when we stop the guns flowing south, would take time, unfortunately, as getting into this problem that we have also took many failed policies and quite a lot of time.
Yeva Yusonite's book is Exit Wounds, How America's Guns Fuel Violence Across the Border. Thank you, Yeva.
Thank you, Deepa.